thank you for hearing. Yes, thank you for minds comprehending. Thank you for people willing to go far for the gospel. Thank you for men ready to pick what others have left. Thank you for these days. Thank you for greater days to come. Thank you for continuity. Amen, amen. Praise God. So, don't forget, these offices. That's part two, series three, part two. The purpose of the church, I'm sure, is greater. No, at times when I look at the movies nowadays, there's something that I observed that you must have a, like, if somebody will fight war, kill a whole country, kill a whole, we go rogue. One thing that they use in movies to justify it is maybe your love for your family. Amen? I think the last Fast and Furious, why did Vin Diesel do all he did? For who? So at the end of the movie, when you now see the boy, you now say, oh, right? So you now forgive all the plenty people he killed in the process. Praise God. So, no, like, that is a subtle way to us to justify. No, that was to justify the plenty stuffs. And I've taught you, of course, maybe that should be maybe part. No, it's not in this series. Maybe that should be in course of discipleship. That ensure you don't allow your love for family to override that of the ministry. It's subtle, but it will take away your ministry. I'm not joking. It's subtle, okay? It's subtle. So, see, I wrote in my notes, I said the purpose of the church overrules my love. I didn't say your love, I was very personal. I wrote my love for my family. It must overrule. If we believe that the gospel is the greatest, then the church is the greatest institution that exists on earth. Not the family. If we believe that the gospel is the greatest, then we must believe that the church is the greatest institution that exists on earth. Is the greatest institution. You know, it's so funny nowadays that new churches, we come to pack the sheets that old churches, have done. We want to look for a venue like Unity today. And thank you for good men in just get to a place they're not going to give us. Say, why? The former church that was there, they are doing this. They put on speaker outside. They're doing they talk. We are not that sure. Say, no, all of you are the same. Praise God. So that means, we must really, since we at least we don't say we are not church. We have said, we should have said we are a school, have we? And then we do have to meet on Sunday. That would be funny. Say we are school. So, the church is the greatest institution that exists on earth. That is why leaders are seriously cautioned as what to use the church for. You must be cautioned. Your son is not compulsory that your son succeeds the ministry. It's not compulsory. You must be cautioned as to what you use the church for. Colossians 4 verse 17. So that will be first. Don't wish to really exit that aid by too long. Colossians 4 verse 17. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. You can see he said the ministry, right? Specific. The ministry. Fulfill it. That thou fulfill in the Greek, it means plero. Please relax, and let your mind be here. I beg in the name of Jesus. Relax your mind, let your mind be here. Receive the word, receive it. Receive it. Relax, let your mind be here. Take off the bodies, take off the strong words, take it off your mind. Let your mind be here. Plero, P-L-E-R-O-O. It means to render full. To fill to the top, to consummate, to fill to the top, to render full. So see to the ministry that you have received of the Lord, that you render it full, you consummate it. Let me ask you this question. Can ministry be fulfilled? Everybody, eyes up. Please look at me. Please, I beg you. Could ministry be fulfilled? How do you know you have fulfilled ministry? Anybody, feel free. How can you say I have rendered the ministry full? Yes, sir, Pastor Steven? Okay, but you know, if we stop church last year, have I trained people? Have I trained? Yes, we have trained. So at what level of training? Yes. Okay, where I train? What do you say? Let me just look for how I put it here. Every time I'm sensing, I just dictate to you. Where is it again? Okay, so, no, how can we fulfill ministry? Is it that the whole world is saved? Now we say, okay, now I have fulfilled ministry. No. But have you created... I don't love to use a structure, but I don't know how to put that word right now. So, but have you created a structure that will never die, even when you are no longer in the picture? That's how I put it. But have you created a structure that will never die, even when you are no longer where in the picture? For instance, if I quit ministry today, and all of you, or most of you, or any of you, goes back to the norm, that means I wasted my time. That means I never fulfilled ministry. So, how do I know I have fulfilled ministry? That means I have set things in motion that will not stop after me. Okay, if that's, come back to it later. Acts 20:20, yes, be fast, please. And how are you to fulfill it? That's what we are seeing there. He said, Acts 20:28, and take it therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to what? To feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Verse 12, go back to Ephesians 4, verse 12, first, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Can you see? So that, like, that means when you are gone, when you are no longer there, when you are not with them, that they should not be tossed to and fro. But that's why Paul was saying, I sent men to know your faith, lest we have labored in vain. Remember? I've sent men to go and check on you, to labor, to check you, to see your steadfastness, lest our labor be in vain. Okay? Whereby the lying was to deceive. So if after you are gone, the people you say you have trained, anything could still swap them, you never fulfill ministry. So don't forget, when we feed these ones, we feed Jesus. Remember, that is in Matthew 25. When we feed saints, we feed Jesus. We serve Jesus by serving saints. That is to the leaders. We serve Jesus by serving saints. We serve Jesus by serving saints. That is to the leaders. And to the followers too, we are taught of God to be responsible to all men we are under. We are taught of God to be responsible to all men that we are under. Imagine, even if in the worldly sphere, if he's saying servants should obey their masters, servants in the worldly sphere, say, obey your masters. Why? There's no rudeness in you. Why must we now use that rudeness example in the church? I mean, that rudeness trait in church. No. So the church is the greatest institution of God on earth. I'm not saying it's the only. There are institutions of man that are yet approved of God, but the one that God himself instituted, became a man to do, is the church. Amen? Went to any other institution, financial, marital, everything, they are all being done without Christ. without the name of Jesus. And there's only one that cannot be done without that name of Jesus. Okay, John 21, verse 15. Say, God does not work in us to be rude to leadership. That's the point. So, we must remember, God has put men in charge. That's what I focused on in the last part. God has put men in charge. We cannot change that pattern. God has put men in charge of this divine institution, and we cannot change that pattern. John 21, 15. God has put men in charge of this divine institution, and we cannot change that pattern. We cannot, please, we cannot. So when they are dying, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto them, Lord, you know I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lamb, feed them, feed them, feed them. He gave somebody the responsibility to feed them. That means Jesus instituted leadership. He told somebody to feed them. There must always be a feeding and a receiving and a eating, rather. Okay? Feeding and what? Eating. Say feeding and eating. That means roles, right? Roles. I told you, it's not saying control their life, it's to feed them. That means in spiritual and in physical. Feed them in spiritual and in physical. We must respect that. That's what I was talking about in this part, and I will be closing. We must respect that. Men are in charge of God's work. Men are in charge of God's work. We must give them a strong allegiance. Once we boycott that, we will not achieve that purpose of God. Once you see second guess the opinions of your leaders, you will not obtain guess the result of God. For instance, do you know the reason why it's good you are devoted to the instructions of the leader, even in physical things? I mean, other things, like in non-spiritual things. Brakim, get some shares, let them be in the church on Sunday. And you just say, this year, can I do it? Just think with yourself, I can do it next Sunday. It's not bad though. But you know what you have done? You have also trained yourself to what? To what? Second guess, right? To do your own thing. That means a day will now come that this instruction may now be as touching spiritual. Don't forget you have trained yourself earlier to what? That I can postpone this thing. I can do it anyhow. Are you with me? Say men are God's gift to us. Say it will be unfortunate. But that is it. And I have to tell you the truth. You are fortunate. May even be the people you hate. That's it. So see Galatians 1 verse 19. So we must give our allegiance to them. Now, even Paul, let's face Paul and James. Even Paul, he didn't come out of the blues. Paul did not just come and everything was just blooming. No. Let me explain Paul then, the life of James slowly. James, I said in the last part under the speaking word, or the cracking, whatever you call that series. You have not done anything yet. I know you are doing a lot. Well done. So, remember I said James was the first pastor, was the pastor of, like, we can call the first church, right? And let's see how that happened. See Galatians 1:19. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the love brother. That means Paul is saying, I saw he was dropping the name of this man. I saw this guy. Go to chapter 2, verse 9, the pastor. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seems to be pillars, can you see that? No, I'm fast. Just relax. Galatians 2:9. And when James, right? Cephas, that is Peter, right? John, who seems to be what? Now, that word seems to be pillars. It means accounted as a support. That means they were accounted as a support of the church. Accounted. They are accounted as a support of the church. When they perceived the grace that was given unto me, gave me and Barnabas the rest of fellowship that we should go to the ending and date of the circumcision. Okay, let me show you so you can be clear of the James I'm talking about. See Acts 12 verse 1. We also have James, the brother of John, the son of thunder, and the children of thunder. Remember? We have James, the brother of John. Now, this James I'm talking about here is James, the half-brother. So, not half-brother, sorry. Is that brother? Is that brother or full brother? Is that brother or full brother? half brother or full brother. You don't believe in it. Who's every brother? You didn't believe in incarnation. Amen. Praise God. It must be half. Praise God. Say we pray is half. It must be half. If it's not half, the entire redemption plan, that means you have denied divinity as a source of incarnation. That means you have said Jesus is a, you're on the other part of 1 John 1. Saying Jesus is totally flesh. 1 John 1 says that those guys, they said he did not what? Come in the flesh, right? That means they are saying he's a spirit that is just appearing and disappearing. That's fallacy. And the other part will not be what? He's a full flesh. That's also what? Fallacy. Thank you. See Acts 12 verse 1. Now about that time that Herod the king of stretched forth his hand to beg Satan of the church, and he killed James, the brother of what? John. See that with the sword, and he pleased the Jews, funny people, they proceed to take Peter also. So that is the friend James. Go to Matthew 12 verse 46. Let's face this James, see where he came from. Please hold on, just pay attention. Matthew 12 verse 46. Open all the scripture, just after the reading this time. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? 49. And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Why? 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother, sister, and mother. Sorry, let me ask this question. Who can prove to me that Jesus is not rooted? All the proof. Was Jesus rooted? Awesome. But what is the proof? What is the proof that he's not rooted? When he was 12 years old and he was talking in the temple and he said, let's go home, did he answer them? Did he follow them home? He didn't. Yeah? He said, I must be about my father's business now. And Bible say he. You can find it. Oh, let's find it. Ask. It should be Luke 2. Luke 2 or Luke 3. Luke 2, around verse, last verse or something like that. Fast. Luke 2, what? 49. Let's read together. I want to go. Yes. Yes. So, okay. So, was this subject to them? So, in this place, why did he not answer them? Maturity, right? Which everybody respects. Just like, okay, if my mom, I'm preaching right now, at my age, and my mom stands there, Papa come now, and Emilio beer. I am the one that's. So, but why can't that be rudeness? Why? No rudeness in you. Amen. Praise God. Because even according to the Jewish law, you know, there is, only what I learned it from Chris Devon. That best part, when you celebrate, when you are of full age and you are declared as, awesome people. You are strong in Jewish Judaism, right? He's 30. Are you with me? 30 years old, it's not a boy. So, that is what I'm saying. So, now, but focus on what I'm saying here. So, see that 48. They said, who is my mother and who is my brother? And you see, 47, his mother and his brethren, they stand outside, desiring to speak with him. He's preaching, and they all stood outside. So, we can say, so James may be part of this. Are you with me? So, that means when Jesus was doing his ministry, he didn't really send him much. Now, write this down. Never disdain humanity for our frailty. Who can pronounce frailty? Who can spell it? You're not talking loud now. Yeah. I-L-T-Y, right? So don't despise humanity for our frailty. If you do it, you will miss God by far. So this was God that became a man that everybody was seeing on the street of men. And yes, they said, Okay, don't disdain man humanity for our frailty. Because you know his weakness, you know this, you know that, you are now looking down on him. Ah, you miss God by far. Now, go to St. Matthew 13:54. No, it's very funny. And when he was coming to his town called, he said, he tossed them in the synagogue, in as much that they were astonished, and said, where is this man, this wisdom, and this mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James? You can see James, right? And Joseph, we don't know this one, and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are not they all? No, you are saying Mary does not have any son. Seriously? Are they not all with us? Whence then are this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, save in his country and in his own town. These are statements to announce their rebellion. It's not the will of God. 58, he did not many mighty works among them because of their unbelief. Go to Matthew 28 now. But Jesus now did something to help his family. Say, but Jesus now did, Matthew 28 now. Jesus now did something to help his family. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. Verse 5, he is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come and see the place where his Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him as I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Let me remind you, read 10 for me. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Verse 10, want to go? Yes. And Jesus said to them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall what? So Jesus did now forsake their prayer. His family? Are you with me? Did he yet has a plan for them? Huh? So he now said, go and tell them that I'm risen from the dead. That means despite their attitude, right, he still was on the job to look out for them. Let me say this again. You know, one of the statements I wrote down and I started with here when I was saying, talking about family, that your love for that your love for your family must not outweigh the love, the gospel, the ministry, is why will that statement not make you not to take care of your family? Same thing. Say it now. Why will that statement, why would that not mean you should suffer your family, you don't feed them? Why will it not imply that? What did you say earlier? Did you have wickedness in you? Does God work in you to be wicked to anybody? So when he was saying, he that follows me and does not hate his father and mother, so how will you not see that hate? You are simply seeing what? Priority, right? But can Jesus tell you to hate somebody? So that would be a figure of speech. That means priority. So he's simply saying that this one is priority. Jesus can never tell. God, if Jesus said, go and hate somebody, say, Jesus, where is it in the what? Fruit of the Spirit. Are you with me? Are you with me? You know, I was telling you about 1 Corinthians 7, if you marry somebody that is not serious, he said, don't divorce. Why? You cannot find the motivation to do that in God. I have the anger to say, I'm going. Go! I'm going. But yet, must you do your spiritual duty? Yes. I told you, so if you say you must not go to evangelism, must you listen? You can't listen. But as you coming back from the evangelism, what must you do? Buy Bobo. Are you with me? So the best thing you can just do is just to marry Brother King. Are you with me? Sorry, you're my new example now. Yes, Ojutas. Amen. Okay, where am I? Sorry, we are in just read Matthew 28, right? So, finally, after the resurrection, please go to Acts 12, and they return, Acts 1 verse 12, sorry. Please be fast. Please permit me. I'm sure you are here tomorrow. Those people are praying that I'm gone. God has refused to answer your prayer. Acts 1 verse 20. They then returned there unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, which is from Jerusalem, the Sabbath day journeying. You know, and when they were come in, they went up into the upper room, and they are both Peter, James, and the rest of them. And 14, and they all, let's read 14 together, want to go? This all continued with one accord in prayers and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Hallelujah. Praise God. But guess what? Who stood up in verse 15? In those days, who stood up? Peter stood up. James did not stand up, right? Praise God. So that means it was after the resurrection that they now start. I think this our brother is not just serious. So finally, they were part of the 120 that spoke in tongues, right? At least we can assume that from what we are seeing here. So now, right here, so you might have started badly in ministry. You might have started in dishonor. You know, also, even with low exam scores. But you can later bounce back. Are you with me? You can later bounce back. But to attain leadership, you must show yourself faithful. You must show yourself faithful. You must still prove yourself to us. You must still prove yourself to us. See, when they want to select, when they want to replace Judas, did they choose James? No. See, Acts 1:21. Wherefore of these men which have company with us all this time, when the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, James did not qualify. So, beginning from baptism of John, must one be chosen to be a witness of his resurrection. So, and they appointed Justus and Matthias and the apostles approved one. So they voted. That is table of sincerity, verse 26. And they gave their lots, and the Lord fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. They didn't choose James. So it looks like they voted and the apostles approved. Same here in Acts chapter 6:2. Say, and select men. Wherefore, verse 3, look out for among you 7 honest men of honest report, sorry, full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom, who may what? Appoint. See what the apostle said, though. You choose. Who we appoint? Us, right? Choose the men, we will approve. That's what he said. So now, observe here that James was not a part of them there. Are you with me? So if you ask one to ask this, we don't see James as part of them. So yeah, it looks like it was when the persecution started that James showed himself faithful. That they're now absorbing. See James 1, verse 2. That's when he was writing his own epistle. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to these 12 tribes. Now he didn't say James, a servant of God and a brother of Jesus. Say, I'm a servant. But before he was saying, you, Brajay, come and talk to us. But when he learned, he said, no, we are not mates. Hallelujah. Praise God. He now said, oh, he's my servant. I'm not his brother. I'm his servant. So my brethren, count all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing that the trial of your faith worketh patience. So, and later, see Acts 15. So that means he has learned honor with time, right? He learned honor. What the dishonor he had before, he unlearned the dishonor. He now learned honor. Are you with me? Just flow. So see Acts 15. So later in Acts 15, he gave the final verdict. He has become the G. See Acts 15, verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul when they declared the miracles and wonders by the Gentiles. And let's read 13. After they had all heard their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. And you see, verse 19. Wherefore, my sentence is this, that we trouble them not which from the Gentiles have turned to God. So that is, looks like from zero to hero, right? Are you with me? Nice. So even Paul, despite all his charisma, he must be proven and as an approved by leadership. Paul, he didn't see Jesus, right? He was yet proven and what? Accepted by leadership. Proven. approved by leadership, by James, by Peter. By James, by Peter. See Acts 9:27. Please look at it. Acts 9:27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, see, and declared unto them how he has seen the Lord, and how he has preached boldly in the name of Jesus. And even, go to Galatians 2, and then fast. Even when the elders were wrong on doctrine, that one is Acts chapter 9:27. Now I'm in Galatians 2 verse 1 right now. The first, this is just for you to know. I'll go to what I want to say very soon and we close. Please don't miss tomorrow. Very important, especially if you're in training. Please do your best. Don't miss it, please. That is when we will really hammer where we are going. Galatians 2 verse 1. Then 14 years after, I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Let's read verse 2. Revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. But what? Privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run. So of course, that's, if you analyze that place very well, that was talking about when you now took the gospel to explain to Peter and James. Are you with me? The people of reputation there is talking about the church fathers. And see what I said earlier. So even when the elders were wrong on doctrine, not because they were refusing to preach to the Gentiles, right? Are you with me? If you read Acts chapter 11, say, even them that are scattered abroad about the person of Stephen, they went all around preaching to none else but to the Jews only. So they are all, they think the Christ died for the Jews alone. So when Paul was now bringing the gospel to them, he said privately to them, that's why of repetition, less by any means I should have run or had run in vain. So that is why the reason why he could oppose Peter publicly on a doctrine matter was because he has what? He has done it privately earlier. He has done it privately. Okay. So just write this down. In all these, we see respect for church authorities. In all this, we see respect for church authorities, for constituted authorities. Authority. Please, the day you stop respecting authorities, that same day you start failing in ministry. You start failing in ministry. Don't do that. Don't enter into that shade, into that corner. Don't disrespect humanity. Like I said, if you discard humanity for your frailty, you will miss God by 1,000 kilometers. You just keep missing God. If you are expecting angels, if you are expecting God to do all He will do for you through dreams, through vision, even through the written word, if that's all you expect, you will really miss God. You will have a long to catch up with. Okay, say amen. Say amen. Amen. It's all God has formed to bless us. You can say amen. All God has formed to bless us. So, okay, so I recap something that I said last time. We said this and we close. As I go back to that, Isaiah chapter 40. This ought to be part of what I have of series 2, part maybe part 9 or so, 9 or 10. So, Isaiah 40. So, why must we honor men this much? Why must we honor the church structure? Why must we honor men that God has sent to us? Please, if you don't know why they are sent to us, get part one. Okay, Isaiah 40. Remember when he was saying about John the Baptist, said the voice of him, verse 3, now of him that Christ in wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert an highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain shall be made low, the crooked path shall be made straight, and the rough path shall be made straight. So and you know that from Matthew 12, you already learned that, Matthew 12 or Matthew 11, that John the Baptist was the greatest of the prophets, right? So if the greatest of them is to prepare the way of the Lord, what are all of us doing? They're also doing the same thing, right? So that means God will do his greatest work on earth, but who prepared his way? Men. Say men. Say men. So, like that salvation is the only thing that God can lay claim on. Yet, it was men that prophesied it. They prepared his path. See, God had angels, but he rather relied upon man for what he wants to do. God had angels, but he rather relied upon man to do all he wants to do. Which type of men? Is he perfect? Perfect? Nada. See, you don't get what I say about angels. Angels, they have God's power, but they are men sent. They have God's power, but they are men sent. Utterances commissions angels. Utterances. That's what gives them work to do. They must act on what somebody else has said. So when Jesus will come, when he was to come in Luke 1, like I said earlier, who received him? Men, right? That's Joseph and Mary. Imagine when he said, Mary, be in something according to your word, she conceived. Then he went to Jesus and said, see, they will kill this boy. And Jesus went to say, they will kill this boy. Go and hide him. Baby God. The man was ensured he was not killed. Say amen. Amen. So, and also, even Jesus himself, he came as a what? As a man, right? So when he was in hell, he relied on the prophecies of men to be raised from the dead. When he was in hell, he relied on utterances of men again to be raised from the dead. So, therefore, when the glory will come, why will you think it strange that men will be bearers of the same glory? Why? Men took the sufferings. They were killed. They were sown asunder. So why will men also not be the bearers of the glory? Why do you see the church and you don't see the glory of God? It's a question. In seeing the church, why don't we see the glory of God? Men bore the prophecies, they bore the sufferings, even in persecution. So why are you expecting angels or one of strange creatures to bear the glory? Or why are you expecting only celestial men that are not here? So the celestial, I'm not talking about that church. I'm talking about, what do I call them? People who are above. Or who have slept in Christ. Why are we expecting celestial men? You know, at times, some people, when we say saints, we think saints are people who have died. Why is it difficult to see the church and the leaders as the bearers of the glory of God? Oh, she is my wife. And so what? Some people say, a woman cannot pastor me. You are not serious. Go to hell. Sorry, not for you. So, that is just very ridiculous. Women spoke in tongues in Acts 1. Women raised the dead. Women can teach the gospel. Women cannot pastor me. Now rely upon some submission, normal submission of husband to a wife to say, no, remember I told you that if you are a man in the house and you're not standing in doctrine, what must you do? What must you do? As such, when the wife is talking doctrine, should you say, I'm your wife, husband, keep quiet? Must you say that? You say that you insult God. Just keep quiet. When she's done, that's okay, honey. Please, can you give me food? That's different. Praise God. All of you, better do 7 women to 1 bracket. Isaiah chapter 11, right? Sorry, don't open it. Amen. Praise God. Somebody say, just give me 5 minutes, I'll be closing. So some people are saying that he's younger than me. I mean, I'm older than him. What's that? Jesus, how old was he? 3. see our husband there. Same laughter. How old was Timothy? When he was saying lady, when he was ordaining people. How do you think Timothy would be? I don't have the accurate data anyway. Right, but he looks pretty young from the words. And he was to control widows. Because he said, rebuke not thy elder except before what? 2 or 3 witnesses. Timothy. Maybe somebody like, who is very small here? Half saint. You now. With the BS, you already qualified. Praise God. So don't use age. Don't use, it's my wife, it's my, no, please. Hallelujah. Men are all God has formed to help you. Also, don't be afraid of being manipulated. Don't be afraid of being manipulated. I'm not Return the scripture again. Don't be afraid of being manipulated. Trust God that men will lead you to God. That's the simple truth. Don't be afraid of being manipulated. Trust God that men will lead you to God. I didn't say you trust the men. Trust God. Trust that Ephesians 4. Trust that the fact that it is God that gave gifts as men. Trust God that men will lead you to God. And, okay. And I think I wrote this on Facebook while I told. And again, watch that hypocrisy. That's the point. Watch a path for hypocrisy. You know what I'm saying? I cannot trust any pastor. You are not serious. You go to the hospital. The doctor will give you an anesthesia, right? And then, what's sorry, Tola? Thank you. You give an anesthesia, whatever. But I cannot pronounce it now. And you will be almost lifeless, unconscious, and they will operate on your body. Don't you trust that man? Does he not trust? Praise God. Anytime you fly that airplane, you're not only trusting men, you are trusting things. You are trusting that a bird will not, some big birds can crash a plane. Bird, if you enter some propeller, the ones that are used to buying propellers, they enter the story. I've heard of plane that bird is captured because they think they have grown wiser and also you are trusting the computers, everything is working. Imagine trusting your generator. It's your generator at the top of my neighbor that is running this plane. Have you been on the sea before? Who has done boat cruise before? You have been on the sea before, I think. And this thing, and the thing stop. Boom. And you're pulling like this. Hey! And you see the waves like this. You trust all those ones. Or if you say men, ministry say, no, I cannot trust him. You are hypocrite. Not you. I'm talking about that. That is hypocrisy. You put all your money in a bank. Owned by who? Manager of GT Bank. If he runs away and enters somewhere in Indonesia, you won't find him. You won't find him. You just convert all your money to Bitcoin. Untraceable. So, and yet you will put your millions there. So, is that not trust? All your private chats. Are you not trusting Mark Zuckerberg? Are you with me? All of you have private pictures. You keep it in a cloud storage. Is that not trust? What if it's ministry? Say no, I cannot trust anyone. You have trust computer. You have trust things. You have trust aeroplane. You have trust bed. You have trust injector. You will be sick. Just run. Just give me this thing. I will be fine. Is that not trust? Joaquin, please help us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. So why is it in church that people find it difficult to trust men? To trust men. That it is hypocrisy. Even the hairdresser. What if he just knocked you something on the air? He's a clipper, thank you. The people don't know. You don't know if you're not a vampire. Praise God. So the church is the greatest institution of God on earth. Some of you will make critical decisions that will hamper the ministry, that will not hamper your spiritual growth. I will just bring before us, Pastor, approve. Pastor, in fact, the way you will comb the thing, the way you pancake the thing, me and Pastor will say, I surrender. Just. But in your journey, pray for me too. Trust men. Don't be afraid of being manipulated. Don't be afraid. Like, that fear will keep you from mastery. It will keep you from mastery. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus dropped his liberty to serve us. We must do the same for service. Jesus dropped his liberty to serve us. We must do the same for service. And don't say, I am accountable to God alone. Please don't say that. See, today people call me to order. See, today people talk to me and I do things. People talk to me and I change my persuasion. Trust me, don't be hypercritical. Hypercritical. Don't be critical. Do you remember how I taught you? How do I know the man to follow? How do you know? Firstly, considering the head of this conversation, then I'll give you three things. How do you know if a man is counterfeit? Wait for the obvious, remember? Secondly, you have the scripture, right? And thirdly, you have the spirit. Praise God. Firstly, wait for the obvious. And that's really the bigger part. Just wait for the obvious. Wait for a man to declare himself against the purpose of Christ. Wait for a man to clearly say, this Bible, I'm not doing it. Or wait for him to say it in a soft way. Also, you have the spirit of God. Praise God. Allow the three to click. Let the three click. So, that means, now, that word, when I said wait for the obvious, that means I must not always second guess my leaders. That is the meaning of that. Wait for the obvious. You know the obvious, right? Apparent. Praise God. And remember the words I said on, like, assuring this church? Remember the words or the promise I said on Sunday? So I will never make any decision that was hamper or that will hamper or that will be for self-glory. I said it to you on my news. Personally, before I enter ministry, I've decided that I will never do that. I've never used it to build any self-empire. I've not used it to build any selfish glory. But through us, the name of Jesus will not be a what? It will not be a forbidden thing in this part of the country. Praise God. Amen, amen. Thank you. Be on your feet, everybody. I honor the gift God gave me. Amen. I honor the spiritual blessings. Hold your hands to your neighbor. Galadedo, Zabadedo, Razam, the gift God gave me. Amen. I honor the spiritual blessings. I place value on things heavenly. I place value on the will of my Father. I place value on things heavenly. I place on the wheel of night. My priority sing. 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 It's my priority. My only focus. It's my only. I honor the gift God gave me. Amen. I honor the spiritual blessing. Kabadados, Sabinanane. I honor the gift God gave me. Amen. I honor the spiritual blessing. I bless God. greatest value.
My priority is my priority.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So he ascended up on high. He led captivity captives and he gave gift as men. So for redemption, when we believe the gospel, Jesus gave us the Holy Ghost. But for ministry, he gave us men filled with the Holy Ghost. He gave us men. He gave us men. How will I know? You will know. You will know. He gave us men. Of course, I've explained more. From tomorrow, it will be clearer and you will get it better. But to fulfill ministry, you must focus. Like I said earlier, how would the world be if all leaders are sound in salvation through faith in Christ? So that is the tool for ministry. And also, if all followers, they listen to their leaders. They listen. This is what has been stopping the progress of the gospel. Let's do the needful. Honor the men that God sent to you. Don't disdain them. Don't disdain humanity for our frailty. From the beginning of the journey of God, from Genesis, we see men all through. So it's not now when the glory is appearing that God will leave men and do something else. Don't focus on things. Focus on men. For ministry, don't focus on money. That's not your tool. Don't focus. I'm talking to leaders right now. Don't forget to focus on money, status, and things. No, focus on the details of that message of Christ. And followers, listen to your leaders. They will not grow you up unto themselves, but unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Receive instruction. Receive correction. It gets better. And the ministry does not stop. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Mr. Everybody. So,